the fine flour really reminds us back in Leviticus chapter 2 of the meal offering. And it's important to connect the two, because what we have in Leviticus 24, what the priest would end up eating, really is connected to the meal offering. And when we think of the meal offering, we're reminded that in the meal offering, it speaks of the Lord Jesus. It's one of the offerings, one of the five offerings that we get in Leviticus, the first seven chapters of Leviticus. A few years ago, we took up that. And remember that the fine flour would also represent the fact that that flour had to be sifted. And as the flour was sifted, the fine flour would flow right through. So it would remind us that there's no resistance to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Lord Jesus. There was no lumps in him. Everything went straight through. And there was never any resistance. We read in Scripture how he was led by the Spirit, how he was carried by the Spirit, and so on. And so I think that's an important point when we connect it to the Lord Jesus. I don't know how far you want to go with this.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I would just connect our brothers, Titus, right? Titus thought. The interesting thing is that the 12 loaves on the table would represent the 12 tribes, right? We know that. There's a verse in, I think, in 1 Corinthians that helps us to see when we connect this thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm not sure if this is where you wanted to go.
Go ahead. We go where the conversation
but
takes us.
We're here now.
Yeah,
so,
good.
Okay. When we think about that, they were to bring these 12 loaves, and they were brought as a unit by the 12 tribes, and then they, as a portion of their labor, to be dedicated to the Lord on Lord's service each week. So if you think about this, and then Paul typifies this, and I think this is how. This is where we're going with this and how it speaks of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "We, though many, are one bread." We're many, but we're one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. And so here we see this idea of the 12 tribes, and how often do we see 12 mentioned, and we see like the 12 stones. And now we have the 12 loaves, and it speaks of the unity that God sees them as one. We know they didn't stay one, but God sees it as one. And now in Christ, we are made one, and God sees us as one. And so I wonder if there isn't a connection here in this verse that we being many, if Paul doesn't pick up this and he's not thinking back to the table of showbread. Mm. And thinking that we, though being many, there was 12 loaves, we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. So I just would put that as a connection to perhaps add a little something to your question.
And I think we can say, first of all, whose eyes were on the showbread all the time? It's God's eyes were on the showbread all the time. Right, and it's that, in that sense, I think I mentioned earlier, it's the second thing. After the ark, I think if I had been describing it and I started with the ark, maybe I'd go to the light next, the lampstand, or maybe to one of the altars, the altar of incense. But it's the table of showbread, and it makes me think of the times where the Father opens heaven over the Son and says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. This is my beloved Son." At his baptism, the heavens open up. At the Mount of Transfiguration, the heavens open up. "In whom I am well pleased." In Matthew chapter 12, behold, the gospel writer links the Lord's life with the prophetic word in Isaiah 42. "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my elect in whom my soul is well pleased." God's eyes were always on the showbread. And even though we'd say it's not an atoning thing, it's not a sacrificial thing, it's not the burnt offering, it's just the character of the Lord Jesus that God loved to make much of. And it's what God presents after the ark. And so the first thing we would say is it was God's delight to look at the showbread, to see the perfections of the Lord Jesus and to enjoy all that he was. And then when the Lord Jesus has actually come, that he opens the heavens and announces, "This is the one in whom I have found all my pleasure." He has, you know, God has been looking for a man to do his will perfectly since the beginning. Now here is that man, the Son of Man, the one who is also his beloved Son of God. But he's the man par excellence who does God's will perfectly. So we must see Christ in the showbread, and I would say we must see him there first. Maybe there's some other thoughts on that, and then we can also talk then about the fact that the priests would eat that showbread and the fact that there are these 12 loaves.
Is there a connection between the pot of manna that was found in the ark and the bread that was on the table of showbread? Would it be fair to say that the manna, the pot and the manna, speaks of Christ's provision in terms of his sacrificial death, while this bread speaks of his provision in our daily lives? Or is there a different distinction to draw between the two?
I didn't have a hadn't thought about that, so I'll let somebody else comment. So essentially, is there a similarity or is there a contrast between the pot of manna that's in the ark and the showbread that's on the table?
I think in the pot of manna, it's the reminder of the provisions of God for the daily walk. In the fine flour, it's the features of Christ that God takes pleasure and delight in. So in the manna, it reminds them that it was a reminder of God's faithful provisions. But in the showbread, it's what God takes pleasure in. One of the things I wanted to talk about is something else about these loaves. And I know we didn't overlook it, but it says they were baking.
Mm-hmm.
They were under extreme pressure and intense heat before they were put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learn in the life of the Lord Jesus, that he was suffered, he was abused, he was mistreated, he endured suffering. In fact, this morning in the adult Bible study, this was touched on, of how even in the sufferings of Christ, even in the heat of being despised and rejected, God could look down and find his pleasure and delight in the Lord Jesus.
I think that's the real key to this passage, and I want to connect the two thoughts that Steve and Mark both had, is that the thought is this was before God. And I found what you said to be very interesting, because there was no light in there except for what the candlestick would be putting forth. And so there was no light in there, and yet this is the second feature. So before we have any mention of the light, we have the bread before God. So God sees the bread, and he doesn't need the light to see the bread, because he's an all-seeing God. And he sees that which delights his heart. He sees the person of Christ. He sees the one that brings him pleasure. And so he doesn't need that light. That light was for the priests to be able to see the table of showbread and the bread that was there. So I just thought that was an excellent point, that it's before God. It's for the delight and pleasure and heart of God.
Yeah. It's common here.
Had something.
Yeah, I just have a question. Were the 12 loaves, were they leavened or unleavened? Does it make a difference? Since sometimes in the Bible, the leavened bread is a picture of sin and corruption.